Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, health and wellness advice for women over 40 and beyond with Amanda Thebe. This is a show full of hot topics specifically for hot women. Amanda Thebe is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Through her very frank articles, podcasts, and hilarious social media presence, she's here to help you with informative advice while making you laugh like a 20-year-old throughout. Her raging fans have called her an unstoppable inspiration, resilient bitch, and one woman called her the over 40 guru to watch in 2017. Please visit us at fitandchips.com. And now, here's your host, Amanda Thebe.
Hi, and welcome back to Fit and Chips Chats with me, your host, Amanda Thebe. And I am joined today by Elspeth Vaino. Is that pronounced correct, Elspeth?
It is not. It's Elspeth Vaino, actually. I always say, you'll remember this, rhymes with wino.
And that suits you. So that's awesome.
Right?
Elspeth Vaino, the wino. No, that's awesome. So Elspeth and I met, I think it was 4 years ago at the inaugural Women's Fitness Summit in Kansas City, which I actually thought was in Kansas, like the Wizard of Oz, and I was devastated that it wasn't. But anyway, moving on from that. Elspeth was one of my favorite presenters of the day because she spoke about fitness from an engineering perspective, because that's her background, and we'll go into that more. And she talked about the biomechanics of the deadlift, and I was like, oh my God, I love this woman. She's a genius. And so from there, I've always kept, I know, I can't just massage your ego a bit, but I do love the work that you put out. And any information that Elspeth talks about comes from this sort of like real practical engineering perspective, which I really admire. And I am married an engineer, so I sort of get that way of thinking. So a little bit about Elspeth is a strength and conditioning coach. Like I said, she was an engineer before she was a trainer, and she sort of takes advantage of that analytical problem-solving background when she's training her clients. A gym owner at Custom Strength in Ottawa, her own gym there. And the only other thing that I want to say about is Elspeth and I share a love of Scotch eggs. Yeah. And if you don't know what that is, then Google that shit. But otherwise, moving on, welcome Elspeth.
They're delicious, and thank you for introducing me to them.
It's great to have you on the show. There is so much we potentially can talk about. Both of us are very opinionated, and we've both got loud voices. I like that about us. We don't have to agree on everything, which I also like. But can you just fill us in a little bit more about your background, why you got into training, a little bit about the sports you did? Because I really like where you've come from and where you are now.
Yeah, and it's... So I was an engineer, as you mentioned. I actually was a electronic warfare engineer, which, like, saying that to me is like, what the hell? So I worked in radar systems, like missiles, radars, that kind of thing, which was a weird place for me to be because I'm kind of a tree hugger. But it was a strangely good opportunity, but eventually it just didn't fit me personality-wise. Well, it never did, but eventually I, you know, accepted that I couldn't stay in that realm. So I moved into some environmental consulting, which was a better fit in terms of personality, but it was government consulting, so I'm assuming government consulting in the US is the same as up here. You often do projects that your client loves, but no one ever does anything with it. So I got to the point where like someone would say, hey, thanks, this is a great project. And then they'd like put the, you know, report on a shelf somewhere to collect dust and never be seen again. So it was very unfulfilling to get paid for really good work that no one gave a shit about. So I just eventually, you know, couldn't really do that anymore. And then at the same time, I found myself, while still doing that, randomly went to a bookstore and decided that I needed to read more about training because I was doing my own training for, at the time I was playing Ultimate fairly seriously. And I picked up an NSCA textbook, just because that's what you do when you're a geek. And so I found myself one day reading that while I should have been working on one of like 9 projects I had due. And it was, you know, consulting projects are such that if you don't do the work, you don't get paid. It's very simple. And if you don't complete the work, you don't get new work. So it was a very like aha moment when I thought, what, like if this is what I'm doing for free, when I could be doing this other work for pay, maybe I should be doing this work for pay. And then from there, it was just a series of events that led me to changing careers entirely and throwing away my consulting career for personal training.
Big leap of faith, because personal training, as you probably know when you did your research and your due diligence, is a short lifespan for most people in the industry of 5 to 10 years, right?
Yeah, or if you listen to Thomas Plummer, I think it's 2 to 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, we beat the odds. We've beaten the odds.
Right?
I love it.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, so one of the things I realized early on doing it, though, is that, when you start something because you really want to, when you've had a previous career that didn't fulfill you, I think it's easier to make this career fulfilling. And having had a background, more a businessy style background, I think it's easier for me to take this a little bit more seriously in the professional sense, which is not to say that not all trainers take it seriously. I think they do, but I think a lot of trainers don't understand or don't recognize what makes a business work.
Yeah, that's great. And I come from an IBM background, a consulting background in IBM, maybe a similar thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's a work ethic as well. And this isn't to sort of shame anyone, but I think women in our prime, and we've sort of been there and done that. And I came from a time where we just worked hard, like from the minute we went into work to the minute we left home. We didn't have internet or social media, anything to distract us. You just put your head down and you did the grind. And so I find that just with my business, I'm a high achiever anyway, but I'm also very efficient with my time, because I'm just like, oh, I've got 5 hours to just plow out some good stuff here. So same with you probably. So can we move on to the type of clients that you attracted and how you attracted them, and then talk a little bit about your philosophy of training, please?
So the type of clients I tend to get, and it's, I think, probably suits your podcast audience well. I most of my clients are really like definitely over 30, a large chunk of them over 40, a whole lot over 50, over 60. And most of them, and this is the cool thing, this is one of the reasons I love my job, a good chunk of my clients have never worked out before coming to work out with me. So I get to be the person that introduces people to how it feels to be more fit, how it feels to be stronger. And it's amazing because I get to watch this transformation. And as a sidebar, I saw I think Tony Gentilcore had written on a Facebook post about how, you know, some young trainer was saying that, you know, he was only training housewives, and what does he have to do to be able to train athletes? And he was like, you know, okay, son, you have to be able to do these people first. And also, these people are great. And it reminded me that I actually love training, like particularly women over 50 actually is probably my favorite demographic for training, because, you know, it takes a little bit of time, because they're almost unanimously apprehensive to start. But once we get going, it's to see there's always like a sort of moment where they change and suddenly they start to think about the things that they can do instead of worrying about what they can't do. And it's amazing. And then suddenly we get into, you know, people wanting to do more, and they're like, literally it's life changing.
That's wonderful. Oh my goodness. And the thing is, how many women do we know that to quote Susan Kleiner, she's like, we know that women in their 40s and 50s lose belief in their athletic ability. And I love that line, because I even felt it a little bit myself, being like someone who's exercised for 25 years, you know, consistently, that when I went through my menopause sort of phase, I started doubting my ability and doubting the belief in myself. And so now you're getting these women who are like basically starting from scratch, have never exercised before, and they're walking through the door. That to me is huge, because it's saying to them, they believe in themselves. That's the biggest step for me, is the walking through your door. Yeah. Not picking up the first exercise,
Absolutely.
So if somebody walks through your door, go through the process, like talk me through where you start, because what I'd love like the listeners of this podcast to feel is that they can do it too, that just because they're in the 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, they don't like have to give up. They can start. There's always a place for everybody in exercise. So what would you do when they first came through the door?
Well, I mean, honestly, the first thing I do is, I think the most important is I make them feel welcome. Like when someone walks my door, I have a big smile. It's like, you know, I mean, the Walmart greeter thing is, I think, effective. Like make people, not that I go to Walmart, I'm kind of anti-Walmart, but that's something that they do well. And I think that, I don't think a lot of trainers realize how important it is to make someone feel welcome, make someone want to be there. So that's a huge priority for me, you know, big hello, a big smile. And then, you know, and I'll read from them whether they feel apprehensive. I'm usually, that's one of the things that I'm pretty good at, is recognizing how, like recognizing what someone's feeling when they're in a position. And if I recognize any apprehension, then I will continue to build them up and remind them that this is not, you know, this is not a test. Although I sort of give them a test, it's not really a test. And then once I've gotten, you know, I'm a little bit jokey, so I'll try to, you know, lighten the mood with some kind of humor. Sometimes it fails miserably. Sometimes it works. Depends. And then from there, like the actual technical side, so I have them fill out, you know, the waiver that everyone has to fill out. And then, I do put all my clients through something called the functional movement screen. And there's, you know, if you're a geek trainer, then, you know, there's sort of discussions about whether there are merits to this or not. But all I'll say, basically, it's a very basic assessment of people's movement. But when I do this, especially when I have clients who've never worked out before, I'm very, very pointed at mentioning that it's not a test. I'm not trying to see how strong you are or how well you do something. I'm trying to see, you know, where there are areas we should focus on. So I very much introduce it like that, as opposed to a, let's see how good you are.
And I think that's a really great point. It's not a test, because we all do it as trainers. Somebody walks through the door, it doesn't matter whether they're an athlete or a complete newbie, we need to know what our baseline is that we're working with. And there's a whole bunch of different things we can do. You use the FMS system. I like that. I use components of it. I don't use all of it. It's a bit too time consuming, but you tend to sort of get a good feel for your client, and whether they know it or not, you're judging. So you're recording everything in your mind, so you know where you can build from and where you can sort of like give them the small wins, so to speak. Because I think that every time you work out, like a client should always feel better than when they walked in. That's the ultimate goal, right?
Bingo. Yeah.
So you've got these, and I'm going to focus it just on women, really, because they're the majority of listeners I've got. So a woman over 50 walks in, you've done the initial screening just so that you understand where you're going from. So like, what type of things should a woman be doing, in your opinion, as far as fitness is concerned? Because there's so much information out there that it can be so confusing. I just think that we're over-informed out there, but nobody's really talking about this population.
Right.
All the information's about like the 20, 30-year-olds. And I want to know what you consider to be appropriate for our age group.
From my approach, I learned a lot from Mike Boyle, which basically is, you know, push something with your upper body, pull something with your upper body, do some kind of squat type movement, which more works the front of the leg, some kind of deadlift type movement that works more the back of the legs, front of the core and side of the core. And then it's basic. And that's what we do for basically everyone. The difference being the degrees of what we do. So for someone in their 50s who's never worked out before, maybe they have a knee injury, maybe their neck is off, we'll dial it back a little bit. Someone in their 20s who is an athlete will dial it up a little bit. The one thing that is different, I will say, so new clients that are apprehensive, shall we say, and this often applies with someone in their 50s who's never worked out, my goal is to make them feel like they can do things. So I will actually, the initial option I will provide will actually be easier. Whereas, you know, a male athlete in their 20s who feels like they have to get pushed all the time, I will actually probably give them something a little bit harder just so they get what they want, right? They want to feel pushed. You know, generally speaking, women in their 50s who haven't worked out before want to feel success, right? Because they're already afraid. So, you know, and then eventually we just build from where you are. If I've given you something too easy, then we'll just make it harder. If I've given you something too hard, we'll make it easier. It's simple. And then honestly, back to what I said, have fun. I want people to feel welcome. I want people to have a good time so that they look forward to their training, which is good for my business and good for their health.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's good for your business too. And one of the things I was going to say is not everybody's in a financial position to be able to hire a personal trainer. Yes. But I have to say that moving, if somebody could invest something in their health, to me, it would be at even two sessions, even three sessions, if you could, like maybe a Christmas present or a birthday present or whatever present, just so that you can truly spend some time with someone that understands what your body is capable of and what you're able to sort of like work towards, because like bad form and hurting yourself are always worries that people have got, and inherently people in that age group come with some type of like injury, because that's just life, right? We've had like 30 years prior of bad posture and sitting at a desk and things. So that would be my only follow on from that, is that if you can go and see a trainer, if you, and just find out like some basic movements that you can do that are safe and it'll make you feel strong. And then what type of offerings do you have at your place that like make it more financially sustainable for people?
So I do semi-private training, which I love personally. I'm a little bit ADD, I think. So semi-private, semi-private basically means we'll have up to three clients for each trainer in the gym. And each person is doing their own thing. So it's not a group training. It's more like trainer sharing, right? So it'd be like, so three of you are sharing a trainer over the course of an hour to go over the program that's created for you. And so it just means that, you know, I basically still get to make money, but they get to pay less. I will reiterate, and I know it's self-serving for us to say that people should hire a trainer, it's so true. And I was actually reminded of this yesterday when I gave a coaching clinic about deadlifts to a group of teenage cross-country skiers. So these are teenagers. They don't have like 40 years of, you know, building up injuries in them. And the difference in movement, the amount of coaching required for someone to be able to do something like a deadlift or a squat properly is actually like, you don't learn it in 5 minutes, because we all have unique ways of moving. And it was such a reminder, like I actually only had 5 kids and they all moved completely differently, and I needed different cues and different progressions and regressions. So even though it can be expensive, like honestly, it's so important, because once you get it down, and two sessions, if you move really well, two sessions might be enough. It's probably not. I would almost say like 5 or 6 to really get the form down. And I know it sounds self-serving, like, hey, come and do, you know, come and pay someone like me for what I do, but it's so true and the benefits are huge. And then after that, though, the other problem is a lot of people aren't motivated to work out on their own. So if you don't, you know, hiring a trainer will help you to continue doing that, or find a buddy, find someone that you'll work out with that you're, you know, because it really is, a lot of people will just, you know, skip the workout, and then the benefit you get from going is so incredible. You'll like, you have no idea. It's amazing. It's probably the best thing you can ever do for yourself.
Well, let's take that back to your Walmart greeting when you walk in. I mean, because that's exactly what you're saying. And what I found when I was in Toronto and I had clients that came to me that had never worked out, it was small group training, but on a larger scale than you. It was probably like a group class. By 10 people, I would max out at 10 people and do my best to give them as much personal attention. It's not quite the same as a semi-private, but they, some of them had never walked through the gym door before, would never dream of going into a big box gym in this huge environment that's scary, and they see all these machines and they don't know what they're doing. So one is like, if you want to start exercising and you're a woman, like I'm going to say in your prime, because I think it's a really great age to sort of like really focus on yourself and find the time to respect what your body needs. And if you can find a place that makes you feel good the minute you walk in the door, then that's the place for you, because the power of community is what's going to keep you going. The exercise is going to be beneficial for you, but you're not going to keep doing that unless you find a place that makes you happy and that makes you want to go back. So I like that, either buddy up, find a good community space, or, you know, just have that accountability somehow, you know, like.
And conversely, if you walk into a gym and you, you know, decide you're going to do training and you don't get that feeling of, hey, I like it here, don't go back, like go find somewhere else. Because really life is too short. Like workouts can be so much fun in the right environment. They don't have to be miserable. If you have a trainer who, if you're a social person, you have a trainer who's not social, then that's not a good fit for you. You know, it doesn't mean they're not a good trainer, but they're probably not a good trainer for you. Conversely, if you're the kind of person who's like, stop talking to me, I'm trying to work out, and you're trainers, they're like, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, get rid of them and go find someone who's the right fit for you, or the right group. And a good group will is just as good as, you know, personal training, whatever it is. But yeah, the accountability and the form cues, really, that's what you need. And then a reason that you want to go.
Yeah, exactly. And then the moving on from that, just what should women like be doing? Let's talk the pink 3 pound pink dumbbells.
I hate those.
I'm going to start doing Instagram posts with me doing bicep curls with three pound pink dumbbells. I'll have to go and buy some first. No, well, I mean, I'm a big proponent of strength training, of course, because that's just what I do, and the benefits are. There's so many benefits. I can't even begin to start. But for you, what are your thoughts on like women lifting weights? We talk about it all the time, but I've never really addressed it on the podcast. So.
Well, I mean, if just like from the pure, I mean, probably the most important part is actually the osteoporosis, osteopenia. You know, this is a real challenge for women in the, you know, 50 plus group. And weight bearing exercise is superior to body weight exercises, or resistance exercises are superior to body weight exercises in terms of the impact on osteoporosis. So, you know, like support your bones by lifting weights is one thing. But even just getting strong for everyday life. I mean, whether if you're a gardener, right? Learning how to deadlift, which means basically learning how to lift stuff, means that when you go and do your gardening that first day back in the spring, you're probably not going to have a sore back for several days because you've learned. It's just a basic thing, but not everyone knows how to do it. It's a basic movement that transfers to any kind of lifting in life, right? So little things like that. Like, so my clients, one of the things I love is when they come back in the, you know, their first session in May after they had their first gardening day, and they're like, oh my God, for the first time ever, my back doesn't hurt after gardening.
Or maybe being in Ottawa after the winter snow shoveling, because that's another thing. When I go to the physiotherapy office when I was in Canada, one of the signs that was always there was how to shovel your driveway without pain. And really, that's a hip hinge with glute activation and some real good Latin core
absolutely.
Activation.
I will say that's one thing. I don't know whether it's like sexism here, but I think I would say most women in their 50s, 60s probably aren't doing their own snow shoveling. And it's not something any of us loves to do, really. So, or actually, I don't mind it like once a year or so. But gardening is something a lot of people love to do. And it's one of the things that literally you can enjoy it so much more when you're fit and strong. And that's one of the things that weightlifting does. And I should say just one thing on the 3 pound one, because I feel like by saying that 3 pound dumbbells are a waste of time, which I think they are for most people, I don't mean to imply that you have to like go above your abilities. Like, we want to progress you slowly and appropriately, but think about how heavy, like a bottle of wine is like a pound and a half, right? So your purse is probably 10 pounds. So a 3 pound weight, like if you actually give it perspective in terms of what you lift in your daily life, 3 pounds is nothing. So getting past that is an important thing.
I posted on Instagram the other day a video of me doing farmer's walks. They were offset because I didn't have matching kettlebells. That was the only reason. So I did a video of me walking back and forth, and there was so many comments from women saying, why would you do that? Even though I explained, what are the benefits? And isn't that too heavy? You know, all of the usual questions. And I'm like, you carry your shopping from the supermarket all the time. Like, it's no different. You carry your child, you carry the car seat, you carry, these are no heavier than that. And I'm walking and I'm just trying to maintain good posture and good grip strength, and my shoulders are supported and my core is activated. This is like real practical stuff that's going to make you like immortal, basically. And that's what I think. And, but when you translate that over to an exercise and they see it with kettlebells, then it looks scary. And it's no different to what you're doing in everyday life. We're just enhancing your performance during the day. And for me, strength training has this huge knock-on effect, this empowerment for women that they often haven't felt before.
Basic things, like I've had women tell me, a client in her 70s, tell me that, you know, she was traveling and she, for the first time, like she was able to just like grab her luggage and toss it into the overhead, right? Where she used to always have to get her husband to do that for her, you know? So little things like that, like there is an empowerment of being able to do things for yourself.
Yeah.
Not to say that we always have to do things for ourselves, but being able to is very powerful.
Having the choice, yeah, instead of having the choice taken away from you. I know that's so great. We've come to the end. See, I told you it would go quick. We are both talkers. We need to touch on what a Scotch egg is, because there's plenty of people don't know what that is. And
I didn't.
So Elspeth and I went for dinner with Cassandra Forsyth in Joy Victoria, I think it was, in Toronto. Yeah. And we went to this British pub and I ordered Scotch eggs and everyone's like mouth was agog. They were like, what is this? And what did it do? Did it blow your mind?
It totally did. I was literally, I don't know what I was expecting, but I was actually expecting something kind of gross and weird. But like the idea of like, yeah, this like breaded sausage and egg combination was like outstanding. Delicious.
Anyway, if anyone hasn't had one, it's like, to me, it's like the most perfect meal. It's like all of the great food groups. There's no carbs or no vegetables in there or fruit, but that's fine. It's just,
which is like frankly typical of Scottish cuisine, as I learned last summer when I was there. Vegetables,
just deep fry them, that's all you need. Yeah. Elspeth, thank you for coming on the show. That was always really great to hear your opinion on things. But my takeaway from this, though, like just to sort of summarize what we've been talking about, is just if you're a woman, or and we'll refer this to both to all genders, like go to a gym. Don't give up. If you're not feeling like on top of your game and you feel like there's something needs to change, taking that leap of faith and going to find a trainer or going to a gym and just start moving again, it's going to have such ripple effects into the rest of your life. I think that's one of the big messages, right? Find somewhere that makes you feel happy, and don't be afraid to lift things that are heavy.
Yeah. And then, you know, wait for it and enjoy the benefits in the rest of your life. And that's, to me, I think that's the big thing, is that, you know, work out to make your life better. Don't work out to make your workout better. Right. And that's really what it's about, right? Your life is your only life. So do what you can to make it better. And working out doesn't have to be every day. A lot of our clients are once a week or twice a week. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's great. And that's another thing, like the amount of times you do it. I think that's the perfect amount of time. And you don't need to do this every day. As long as you move every day, your move can be a nice long walk. It can be a gardening move, and then incorporate some strength training into it, and you'll live forever.
That's awesome. It. Exactly. You promise it. Forever life.
I'm never going to. I actually have a sense of immortality. I'll probably drop dead tomorrow and wish I'd never said that. But
hopefully not. But I'll do it for you.
And anyway, thank you everyone else for listening. Please tune in next week for another guest. And I'll sign out for now. Bye. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on the services offered by Amanda, please head over to her website at fitandchips.com. That's FITNCHIPS.com, or her Fit and Chips Facebook page. Leave a comment and she promises to respond to all questions. The views and advice expressed by Amanda Thebe are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider.